Our next speaker, you know, he goes back with me a long way, something like 20-some years, and he's one of my favorite preachers. And Ray Stewart and his wife Dawn is over here. Wave hi to everybody, Dawn. And I know you'll get a blessing out of Ray, and he's one of my favorite preachers. I could listen to Ray preach all day long. And so I'm sure you'll get a blessing from him, and we're excited again to be down here. And I'll turn it right over to him so we can get going here and get in the Word of God, and we'll have a great time. Ray, come on and preach to us, buddy. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I got one back there. Praise the Lord. I can see that my my disciple jumped up and jumped on the plate. I love him anyway. Amen. He had to make sure that he got something to eat. You know, I want to thank Danny for setting up the opportunity for me to preach, because what he did was he helped prepare the message that I'm going to give. I know that there's a little distraction going on with the food and everything, but I'm just going to go ahead and preach right on through it, okay? All right. When I was growing up, there was a TV program called Flip Wilson. And Flip Wilson had a saying that he used to say. He used to always say, "The devil made me do it." And I'm here to tell you today that most of us may struggle with that in our lives. And most of us may believe that we've got this fundamental problem with the devil. But the reality is that most of us struggle with our flesh. Amen. I think that most of the problems that we find ourselves in, and most of the time when we're in situations that we think and we blame on the devil, is just our flesh controlling us and controlling our actions. Many people who come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior at the point of conversion fully understand that they've entered into a battlefield. That battlefield is not only a battlefield that exists with the devil, but the reality is that that battlefield that most of us struggle with is right in the battle of our minds. Romans 7:22-24 says this: "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Most people are in this war, and they're struggling to get through this walk. And it deals specifically even what Danny talked about, because what happens is that we're in this war, and the war is in our mind. The struggle that we're going on with is this war that brings us into captivity, and it brings us into this law of sin that then ends up destroying us. I'm here to tell you, I believe that most people are today, most young Christians that we find, unlike what we saw in the first gentleman that came up, he came up in a generation that was closer to the Philadelphian church age, when men preached the Word of God, when men used the Word of God, and men believed in the Word of God, and men's families were driven by the Word of God. We live in this Laodicean church age where most people are drawn by their flesh. And they're controlled by their flesh. Their flesh controls their thoughts. It controls their work attitude. It controls what they do, what they think. And they are so under the control of the flesh that most of them have no relationship with the Lord, because the minute that they get out of church, they find themselves right back in the same situation, being controlled by that old man. God told me once, he said, "You know what? I hate my old man." And he's somebody that you can't hate, because with this many people, I guarantee you this, there are some people here right now that are struggling with something. Amen. There's people right now that's here under the sound of my voice that's going on, that they got some fleshly carnal thing going on in their life that's controlling them, controlling what they do and how they do it. This age-old battle that you and I are waging, as much as we like to believe we're fighting a battle with Satan, is the greatest battle that most Christians today are struggling with. And it's the battle within our minds that brings them into captivity to the law of sin, which is in their members, and is called the flesh. Amen. You know what? It's so easy for me to get up here, and I could stand up here and preach a message in the flesh. Do you know how easy it is to get up and sin in the flesh? Do you realize that you can spend time on your knees before the Lord in the flesh? Do you realize that you can amen every sermon that you hear in the flesh? Because see, it's so easy for us to be controlled by the flesh. You take a guy like me. I got saved at 29. That was 20 years ago. So for 29 years, I walked according to the lust of the flesh. And you know what it's easy for me to do? Revert back to the thing that I knew the most of. It's so easy for me to do that. So you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you know what? If you don't have this mind in you, and you got saved, at which most of us do at, say, 20 or so, you know what? You walked according to the lust of the flesh for so long that the easiest thing for you to do is revert back to the thing that controlled you for the longest. If we don't have a direct relationship with the Word of God, if we don't have a consistent daily walk with God in His Word, and here's the thing, you can read your Bible in the flesh. You can sit up and be controlled because you know that there are people who are looking at you saying, he's in his Bible. You realize you can memorize verses in the flesh? I know a guy, and some people know him. I'm not going to bring him up by name. This guy has memorized the entire New Testament and Psalms. Memorize verbatim. You give him the beginning of the verse, he'll follow through the whole chapter. But you know what? When he was faced with a circumstance where he was challenged with something biblical, the first thing he did was revert to the flesh. Do you mean to tell me that a God has memorized the entire New Testament can still walk in the flesh? The scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You mean to tell me this guy had the entire word hidden in him and he still was controlled by the flesh? Here's the problem. The problem was that the word was here. It never made it to here. It didn't make it this far. So at some point, now he wears the fact that he has memorized the entire New Testament and Psalms as a badge of honor. And he walks around and he brags about the fact that he has memorized the entire New Testament and Psalms. What good is it if it doesn't change your life? What good if it doesn't have an effect on your marriage? What good is it if it doesn't help you to raise your kids? What good is it if it doesn't give you a more consistent walk with the Lord on your job? What good does it do you? So what? Good for you. I'm glad you memorized the entire New Testament and Psalms. Did it change your life? Most of us struggle with this guy, the old man. Most of us right now, as I'm preaching to you, a of thinking about what control this old man has on you. You know who that guy is, the old man. He's that guy that after you get out of church and you heard this great sermon, that's your amen the whole time. And then you and your husband get in the car and you're screaming at each other. That's the guy I'm talking about. We all do. He's a guy that the minute after you got out through some devotion, you spent time with God, and you're watching TV, and the wrong carnal thing comes across the TV that causes you to flip back. That's the guy I'm talking about. He's the guy that it says it's okay, as Danny talked about. He's the guy that says it's okay to drink a beer, to have a little bit. That's the guy I'm talking about. That's him. He's the guy that tells you, you know what? You got a good sermon on Sunday. It's Wednesday now. Just kind of live off that for a little while. You don't need to get in your Bible. That's the guy that I'm talking about. He's the guy that the minute some guy cuts you off on the road, come on. He's the guy that the minute some guy cuts you off on the road, you lose your testimony. That's the guy I'm talking about. We all live with him. He's the guy that the minute the Chiefs come on, come on. That's the guy I'm talking about. He's the guy that after the 12th defeat in a row, 13, because they play tomorrow, we can go ahead and give them that one. He's the guy that causes you to use words that you ain't gonna find in here. That's the guy I'm talking about. He's the guy that justifies everything instead of running it through the Word of God. He's the guy that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7 when he said this of him. In verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Paul said, "For that which I do, spiritual man, that I allow not, carnal man. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." You inherited this guy the day you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your person, this new man. But when you inherited this guy, when Adam, in Genesis chapter 3, partook of the fruit. See, God told him, he said, "Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." See, Adam partook of this fruit. And you know what the scripture says? The scripture says that he died. By the time that we get to Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, we have Adam procreating in the image and likeness of himself. He creates a guy named Seth who was born in the image and likeness of Adam, who is now a fallen sinner. And the Bible says that wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon lottie-dottie everybody. We all got him. If you're here today, you got the old man, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. He's with you. He does not leave you. He is not going anywhere. As soon as you spend an hour in your Bible, by the time you get up from reading it, this guy's been doing push-ups. He's waiting on you. See, he's waiting on you to come back and say, I'm so spiritual. Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. There ain't nothing good about this guy. There is nothing good about him. He is out to destroy your marriage. He's out to destroy your kids. He's out to destroy your testimony. He's out to destroy everything that you ever did. And you know what? We let him. You know why? Because we have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. You know what the problem is? You know what problem? The problem is that we let Mr. Sylvania be our mind.
Yep.
We let Mr. GE be our mind. We let everything, we let Mr. Radio, we let Mr. Limbaugh be our mind. That's what we do. We let Bill O'Reilly be our mind. We let everything that controls this world be our mind. And then we do it in the name of conservatism. Let me tell you something about this guy. The Bible says that his understanding is darkened. Because in Ephesians 4:18, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. This guy, this old man, we can blame him on Adam until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This guy wants to keep you in darkness. The Bible says that he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, but they are only spiritually discerned. See, this guy is the guy, he can read the Bible all he wants. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. He's a guy that, you ever sit, and all of a sudden, the second you start reading your Bible, you fall asleep? That's that guy. That's who he is. He's not interested in the things of God. And he's with you. He's not going anywhere. You know what the Bible says about him? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says that he's a child of wrath. Says, among whom also we all had our conversation. If you have deceived yourself into believing that you're something spiritual, that's contrary to what the scripture says. You know what the Bible says about our righteousness says, plural? It says it's a filthy rag. But we think we're spiritual because we've memorized a handful of verses. See, and I'm preaching to the people of my church today too. We think we're spiritual sometimes because we haven't missed a Thursday night Bible study in 2 years. We think we're spiritual because we show up to work on Saturday. I'm here, present and accounted for. We think that we're spiritual because we're at every function, do everything. Let me tell you something. That doesn't make you righteous.
That's right, man. What's your heart like?
What's your heart like? And here's the problem with the heart. The Bible says that it's deceitful and desperately wicked. So even your heart can deceive you. You think you're something. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. You know what the Bible says about him? The Bible said that he is at enmity with God and he cannot please God. Romans 8, verses 7 through 8 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This guy is no good, people. He's no good. And if you don't do something to change him, you got a problem. I don't care how much you go to church. It means absolutely nothing. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. He's a deceiver. What heart is it talking about? It's talking about the carnal heart that a man has. You know what it says in Mark chapter 17? I mean chapter 7, verses 21. It says, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. That's who that guy is. That's who he is. He's no good. He's no good. He's the guy that makes you think wrong. Stepped on an elevator one time in an area. Had my bag with me. Lady clutched her purse. I clutched my wallet. Come on now. She's worried about me. I'm worried about her. See, because I know that in me dwells no good thing, but you know what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, I didn't know who she was, but I know who lives in me. You know what the Bible says about this guy? The Bible says that he's spiritually dead in his trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. That was passed on to you from Adam. And I'm telling you, we're told to reckon him to be dead. But the problem is that we live in a Laodicean church age. Most people can't reckon this guy to be dead. They can't. He's controlling their thoughts. He's controlling what they do. He's controlling their actions. He's controlling everything. Romans 7:18 says that in this guy dwells nothing good. He's no good. While the spiritual man manifests fruit, this guy manifests works. In Galatians 5, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest with the deeds. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You know what lasciviousness is? That's that sexual deviant nasty sin that we have. That's that sexual sin. That's pornography, all that kind of stuff. The thing, and it's too many people here. Some man in here that struggled with it. It's just too many people here. We can sit up and play if we... You know what I like to do? I like to do what they call keeping it real. That's all I'm trying to do. Amen. Let's just be real. You know, ain't no sense in us faking about it.
Right. Admit
it. We just, you know what? People struggle with it.
Admit it to yourself.
It's just, you know, you got to deal with it. You know, I always tell my wife, you know what's the one thing? I got to go to bed with me at night. By the grace of God, I've been married for 29 years. I know that's hard to believe given I only look 29, but I've been married for 29 years, but every night I still have to go to bed with Ray Stewart.
Yeah, that's right.
I know who I am. I know the things that go through my mind.
Yep.
By the grace of God, I have a book. I have the Spirit of God living in me that can at least try to get this thing under control. The older I get, the easier the walk becomes in certain areas, but the greater the attack comes.
Yep, that's right.
Just manifests itself in different ways.
Right.
That's all. Let me tell you something about this man, and I'm going to move to who you can be. He can be refined. He can be cultured. He can have a sweet temper. He can be generous. He can be charitable. He can even be honest and truthful. You know what? This old man, he can even be religious. Do you realize that there are preachers, I'm sure. Come on now. I'm just trying to be real. There has got to be preachers who are preaching in pulpits of America today that are not saved. Don't think it's not happening.
That's right. That's right.
Preach every sermon in the flesh. Think it's not happening? By the grace of God, we go to Old Pass Baptist Church. Praise the Lord for that. The scripture says there are none that are righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When Nicodemus came to Jesus in his night vision, Jesus said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot, he will not. It is impossible for him to enter into the kingdom of God. See, he said that a man has to have a second birth. You know why? Why would he say that? Because there's something wrong with this first one. There is absolutely something wrong with this. That's why, you know what God says? The only thing he can do is return it to dust. He can't allow it into the kingdom. Not this. He can't allow this thing into the kingdom. The only thing he can do is put it back to the dust from whence it came. Because we have a problem. We have a fundamental problem. I like to use that word that's being used in the debates right now. And, you know, a fundamental. This guy's got a fundamental problem. Christians have a fundamental problem too. And it didn't start on Wall Street. We have a fundamental problem, and you know what he's called? He's called the old man. Oh, that guy, I hate that guy. I do. I hate that guy. And if you're honest with yourself, you hate him too. Because he's dogging you. Some area. It may be in the area of your finances. That God says, I want to control your wallet. Come, look at that. Boy, that's shiny, isn't it? Let's go get it. We can just put it on plastic. We'll pay for it next time. Amen. That's what he says. But the spiritual man is telling you differently. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except be a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He gave the reason. He said, because that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. Two separate things. You know what you have? You have an inherited nature. You inherited this guy. You didn't ask for him, but you got him. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says this. We can change him. He says that we can change him by being born again. Not of corruptible seed. That's your parents. But of incorruptible. How? He says, by the word of God.
Amen.
That's how you can get rid of this guy. Which liveth and abideth forever. James 1:18 says, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The scripture teaches this. It says, the day you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you became a new creature created in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Thank you, God.
You know what, though? The old man doesn't want you to believe that. So you know what he does? He makes you believe this guy's black, this guy's white, this is a woman, this person's this, this person's that. Let me tell you something. If you don't see me as a new creature in Christ Jesus, you're walking in the flesh.
Amen.
You don't get it. You missed it. Isn't that what the guy told Obama last night? He said, you missed it. You didn't get it. If you don't get it that I'm a new creature, if you don't get it that I have the hidden man living in me, you missed it. And you can only see through your carnal, fleshly eyes. You missed it. See, God made me who I am for a purpose. And he's using who I am to reach people. But the outward man is going to die. It's the inward man that is renewed daily. As I spend time and I walk in his word, and as I spend time in his word, that's the guy that is renewed daily. Let me tell you about this new guy. Let me tell you who you are if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you have trusted him and you have ceased from working, if you have trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, let me tell you who you are. Because most people really don't know. The Bible says, first of all, that you're a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Secondly, it says that this new creature is spiritual. He's not carnal. He's not fleshly. He's of the spirit. He's a new guy. Thirdly, John 3:6, hear to me now, says that this new nature cannot sin. What do you mean he cannot sin? That's the old man. This new guy, he cannot sin. You know what it says? It says, whosoever is born of God, in John 3:6, doth not commit sin. For his seed, that is his life, remaineth in him, and he cannot see. Why? Because he is born of God. He cannot sin. 1 John 3:9 says this new spiritual nature, you know what he's called? He's called Christ in you. Let me tell you this first. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, any good thing that you do, it ain't because of you.
That's right.
It ain't because of anything you've done.
That's right.
It's because Christ lives in you. See, and in Christ, we are all free. In Christ, we're all in him. In Christ, you're a new creature. In Christ, there's neither bond nor free nor Jew. He doesn't look at people. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the hidden man of the heart. He's called Christ in you, and according to Colossians 1:27, he imparts eternal life. You know what's wrong? What's the good thing about the old man is he's going to die. Yeah. The good thing about the new man is he is eternal.
Thank you, God.
Amen. As far as God is concerned, he is already seated in the heavenlies. You have a place already in heaven. Praise God for that. Because you know what? If our hope is in this life, according to the scripture, we are all most miserable.
You're fooling yourself.
I like him. But he said that this God, this life is hid in Christ. And for that reason, you can't lose it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. He says of this new man that he produces a set of fruit. This fruit is found in Galatians 5 to be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what he produces. If you got a bad temper, it's the old man. Okay? And we all got it. Come on now. We can all have a bad temper. My kids are 19 and 20 years old. They will bring out the old man in me. In a hurry. God told me, said, I can jump in the flesh in no time. I can be in the flesh so quick it'd make your head spin. man is spiritually enlightened. God has prepared him in you. He has revealed him in us. And he's revealed him by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. We see from the description of the spiritual man that he's not an evolution. He did not evolve from an amoeba. He did not come from a caveman. He is spiritual in nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The scripture teaches that the Old Testament, that we have a physical picture of this man. And with this, I'm going to lead to my close. The Old Testament always gives you a picture of what happens to us spiritually. So as you are searching the Old Testament, all you have to do is look. He's there. This nature, this dual nature, this two people that we exist with is personified in the life of a man named Jacob. Jacob had the dual nature. First of all, Jacob means supplanter. Now, supplanter is one that supersedes or replaces something. Just like the old nature, you know what he wants to do? He wants to replace this new nature. He doesn't want that guy to grow. The scripture says, to whom you yield yourself service to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. In other words, whichever nature you feed the most is going to be the one that controls you. I know a guy that raises dogs, happens to be pit bulls. These dogs have the ability to be very, 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 very ferocious dogs. They have the ability to rip people apart. But here's the reality. With those two dogs, if he feeds one and starves the other, even though this both dogs have the same ability to tear something apart, the one that he does not feed, it doesn't matter what his ability is, he'll starve. That's what we have to do to the old man. We got to starve this guy out. We need to starve him out. Because see, he likes to eat. But he likes, it's according to what he's eating, it is that he eats. Jacob, as a supplanter, means that he wants to supersede and replace something. And the old nature wants to replace the new nature. The same way that Jacob wanted to supersede what God was doing when God changed his name. Jacob means schemer. A schemer is someone that's involved in making a secret or underhanded plan. Jacob pictures the old nature in us as we try to weave and deceive and scheme everything in life. God had promised Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, that through him, God was going to make a great nation. And what happened is that in spite of Abraham's sin by not trusting God when he goes and has this relationship with Hagar and produces Ishmael, who is the father of the Islamic movement, God still, because he promised him that he would be the father of many nations, has a plan for Jacob. What he's going to do is use Jacob to bring about what Danny talked about, the formulation of the nation of Israel. Jacob was a major part of God's plan. Jacob, though, like most people, had his own agenda. See, I'm here to tell you today, God has a plan for you, specifically.
Yes, he does.
I don't know you. I don't know most of you. This is the first time most of you have ever seen me. But I know this much. God has a plan for you.
Yes.
You were born with that plan.
Yes.
Now, God's will is the same for everybody that's here. Somebody might say, well, are you going to go do that? And they'll say, well, if it's the will of God. Here's the reality. God's will is the same for every man. And that is that you become conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you become conformed, he then through you and through your conformation, for you being conformed, he will then reveal to you what his specific plan is for each one of you. But I can guarantee you this. He has a plan for you. I don't know what that is. I pray that you're in a church where you've got a pastor who is teaching the word of God to the extent that you would fully understand. But God had a plan for Jacob. Jacob, like most of God's people, had his own agenda because, see, Jacob was a schemer. Even before his birth, God had prophesied that there would be twins and that the younger would serve the older. I'm sorry, the older would serve the younger. Forgive me. Picture of the new birth. See, you were born, and this new guy, the second birth, is the birth that counts. See, there was Esau, and Jacob came second. Jacob was a picture of that birth. He's the second birth in the same way that Jesus Christ is the second Adam. It's the second birth that counts. The first one is going back to the dust. Praise God. Even before his birth, God had prophesied about these twins that Rebecca was going to carry and that they would be two nations. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, out comes Esau, red and hairy, and then comes Jacob. And you know what he's doing when he comes out? He's holding onto the heel of Esau. He was scheming for in the womb. This guy was scheming in the womb. He had his hand on his heel because you know what? He was saying, I'm going to supplant you. I am going to replace you.
Right.
He grabs his heel and he comes out. Next thing you know, Jacob schemes Esau out of his birthright.
Yep.
Here's the problem. God had already promised that the older would serve the younger. He didn't have to scheme. But you know what? He did it anyway. It's just like us. God has a plan for you. You know what we try to do? We try to orchestrate that plan. We try to orchestrate God's plan when God has promised to you his blessings. God said that we have received all of the blessings that he has in place for us. And you know what we try to do? We try to scheme our way into getting a blessing. You don't have to scheme. God loves you. He loves you like any good father loves any child. He loves you. He has a plan for you. You don't have to scheme. You don't have to try to orchestrate it. Just allow God and his blessings and his promises to take hold of your life. When God promised to Isaac the land that he had promised to Abraham, as Isaac was growing old, you know what Jacob does? He schemes with his mother to steal his birthright. You know what? The old man always got to have company.
There you go. There you go.
Misery loves company.
That's it. Yep.
He's scheming with his mother. God already promised her. What are you doing? He schemes with his mother because now he wants to bring somebody else into it. You know what? One of the worst things that you can do is involve somebody else in your mess.
That's right. Man. Yeah. Come on.
My mother used to tell me, she said, let me tell you something, son. You can do bad all by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Sure can. Cut loose and preach. Come on.
You don't need somebody else to bring good to help you do bad.
Yeah.
This guy brings his mother into it. And the two of them get together.
There you go.
Create a scheme. We don't get this guy's birthright. God promised it to you, man. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. He schemes with the wrong person, failing to realize that God was going to give it to him anyway. You know why that is? Because our flesh hears what it wants to hear.
There you go.
Sure does. He lies to his father. He says that he's someone that he's not. He even goes so much as to change his flesh. Make himself feel like somebody he ain't.
He sure did.
Women, please understand me here, because I'm not picking on you. That's what they call makeup. Boy, I tell you, makeup can sure make a dude look like somebody you're not.
Now you're preaching.
Uh-oh.
We put on a little makeup and all of a sudden, whew, here I am. Don't I look good? Take that makeup off. Whew. By the grace of God, I have a beautiful wife. Love her.
There you go.
She looks good with or without makeup.
There you go. You better be
that was
like
a good one.
Come on, I know how to clean it up too.
There you go. You take a few rest.
What's that saying? I was born at night, but it wasn't last night.
There you go.
See, because one of the things that Jacob did was that he made himself to appear someone that he was not. That's what the flesh always wants to do.
Yeah, yeah.
The flesh wants to dress itself up, puff itself up, make it look like somebody that is not. So you know what? So it can scheme and deceive. You don't fool anybody because you come to church with a new suit on. You are who you are. You got to go to bed with yourself. You got to take them clothes off sometime. And boy, 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 take your clothes off and get in the mirror. You know who you are then. You ain't just naked before yourself. You naked before God. He knows who you are too. He lies to his father. He says he's somewhere, one that he's not. God blesses us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, and the old nature thinks he can scheme the father. That's what Jacob did. He brought someone else into his sin, and the only person that they're trying to scheme is the father. You cannot scheme the father. God comes to Adam. He says, Adam, where art thou? You know what Adam says? I hid, man. And let me tell you something. The woman that you gave me, she made me do it. She's the one who made me do it. I didn't do it on my own. I needed some help. God says, yeah, you do need some help. You got a problem. He then, in verse 20, makes God a part of his sin. Just like the old man, we try to justify our sin and bring God into our sinful deceitfulness. He receives a blessing in verse 23 because he dresses up his flesh. His deception was so strong that he even made himself to smell like his brother so he could deceive the father. Once Esau realizes that he's giving up his birthright and his blessing, it says in Genesis 27 verse 35, and he said, thy brother came and came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? Isn't his name Schemer? Isn't that who you are? You know, God has a way of making us face up to who we are.
There you go.
Sure does.
He has a way of making you, you can deceive yourself all you want. We know who you are.
That's right. Amen.
He says, he came in and he took away their birthright. Behold, now he's taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? The old man will rob you of everything he wants to rob you of that God has in store for you. He has his own agenda. He has his own plan. Jacob wasn't in it for God. Jacob was in it for himself. Like most of God's people, Jacob didn't want to be inconvenienced for God's plan and purpose. While God has a ministry for Jacob, Jacob allowed the old man or the scheming part of him to control his actions. By the time we get to chapter 28, Jacob's headed in the wrong direction. He takes a duffel bag and a staff to fend off wild beasts in Genesis chapter 32, verse 10. The sun goes down. He lays down on a rock with a pile of boulders. And then he gets his second revelation from God. And his revelation is what we call Jacob's ladder. And what God revealed to him was this. Between earth and heaven, which the ladder stretched itself to, there were angels ascending and descending in the same manner that they do in Jesus Christ. That ladder is a picture of Christ saying that this, there is only one way. There is only one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There is no other way. Your flesh will not get you there. God promises him that his seed in chapter 28 would be as the dust of the earth. God promises them that he would be with him, that he would keep him, that he would bring him back again in the land that he had promised to his fathers. God promised that he would never leave him. Verse 16 of chapter 28. Jacob's attitude is this: surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. What a tragedy when you allow the flesh, while God is trying to speak to you, you don't even recognize it. I guarantee you, we preach at the mission once a month. Have the men down there sleep on us. Then they get up and cuss at us.
Yep. Yep.
Then they start fighting.
Yep.
All kind of, I had a man at the mission come at me one time. He started walking towards me. Now I have to tell you, I was getting ready to jump in the old man. He was getting ready to take over.
Been there.
Yeah. I was getting ready to tell God. I hate it. I hate that guy, but he had to defend something this time. We get taken on by these guys all the time, when the reality is that God will protect us. By the time we get to verse 20 and chapter 28, Jacob's vowing a vow. He said that if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I might come again into my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Here he goes. He makes a condition with God. He says, if you do what's right, God, I'll do what's right. Let me tell you something. God doesn't need you. Before you know it, he's vowing in his vow that he's going to give God a tithe. He says, I'll give him a tenth. Let me explain something else to you. God doesn't need your money. You don't have to give God a tithe. He doesn't need it. He owns cattle on a thousand hills. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need anything that you give. If you don't give it with the right heart attitude, he doesn't want it. Keep it. I'm going to move on for the sake of time, because by the time we get to chapter 32, Jacob's wrestling with God. God has to break him down. He breaks him down. Because you know what? Sometimes God has to whip this old flesh. We try to whip it in. But you know what? That song that says, the arm of flesh will fail you. The arm of flesh will fail you. He's depending on the flesh. He's wrestling with the angel of God. He gives him a limp. I had this discussion with my pastor. I heard a pastor say this. He said, never trust a man without a limp. If you ain't wrestled with God over who you are, you got a problem. Let me tell you something. Everybody sometimes got to wrestle with God. He gave him a limp. God changes his name from Jacob to Israel after this battle that he has with God in Genesis chapter 32. And it says this in verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. I want you to not miss this. God changes his name, and in verse 28, Verse 29 says, and Jacob asked him, hold on now, he just changed his name to Israel. See, when he changed Abram's name to Abraham, he no more ever called him Abram. How is it in one verse he changes his name to Israel, and in the next verse he calls him Jacob? You know why? The old man wasn't dead. The old man was not dead. God wants to change who you are. Are you trying to hold on to who you are? Are you trying to hold on to the old man? What a tragedy. God wants to change us. He wants to make us this new creature created in Christ Jesus. And you know what? We want to hold on to this old thought. We want to hold on to who we were. See, because we want to get to work where nobody knows us and nobody knows that we're a Christian and you're a secret agent Christian.
Good point.
See, because there's a whole lot of secret agent Christians walking around. Only one knows that they're a Christian is them. And God's trying to change you to be Israel, and you want to hold on to Jacob. He changed you. He made you a new man. Not only that, by the time we get to chapter 35, God says he has to rename him Israel again. It says, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall thy name call. And he calls his name Israel. And guess what? He right back to Jacob. You know what? That's a picture of us. We're this new guy, but we sure love that old man. We want to put makeup on him. We want to dress him up. The Bible says to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed. It says you were dead in trespasses. You know what most of us are doing? We go around dragging this old man around every day. Come on, guys. We dragging him around. He's dead. You ever carry dead weight? Heavy. Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden. He says, I shall give you rest. He wants to give you rest today. He wants to change who you are. You know what you want to do? You want to labor. Come on, old man. Let's go. Let's go to the store. Come on, let's go to work. Talk about people. Let's gossip. Let's do something. Let's watch TV. The wife ain't home. Ain't nobody gonna know. Come on, turn on. There he is. We drag this guy around, reckon him to be dead. In closing, how you gonna win this war? First of all, you gotta starve the flesh. Secondly, you have to feed the new nature. Feed this guy. Get into God's word on a daily basis. Let this mind be in you. Change who you are. We have to get the sincere milk of the word of God. You have to feed him regularly. You know what you have to do? You have to walk in the spirit. It says, walk in the spirit and ye shall not obey the lust of the flesh in Galatians 5:16. You know what? There are three ways to get them done. First of all, by amputation. If thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Not literally, but if the hand causes you to steal, stop at once. Don't taper off. If it causes you to smoke, don't get a patch. Just give it up. If thy foot calls you to go to the places that you don't need to go, cut that foot off. If your eyes offend you and it calls you to look at women in lust, men in lust, it were better for you to lose your eye than keep looking at it. Secondly, by mortification. It says, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness. Mortify is to cause some part of a living body to die. There are some things you cannot amputate. They must be removed in some other way. So that there are things in your lives that you have to overcome. And lastly, by limitation. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin would thus so easily beset us. Everybody's got a sin that they keep going to. Paul called it a thorn in the flesh. He couldn't get rid of that thing. We all have a thorn. I'm here to tell you today, but I've gone about a few minutes over. Thank you. Everyone struggles in some kind of way with this old guy. He is causing churches to split. He is causing families to split. He is destroying relationships with parents and with children. He is taking you to places you have no business going. Don't blame it like Flip Wilson did on the devil. The devil didn't make you do it. You know why you did it? Because you got an old man that's wretched and he's miserable and he wants to be fed and he will take you any place and do anything to see anything that he can. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your kids. And let me tell you something about Jacob. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 50 that when Jacob died, it says, and Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. It says, and the physicians embalmed Israel. They didn't embalm Jacob.
That's right.
Jacob died.
Amen. Thank God.
Israel went to be with the Lord.
Amen.
God wants to bring you home. Are you allowing the flesh to prevent you from having the dynamic relationship with the Lord that you can have? It's up to you. It's up to how much you let that guy control you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. I love you, Lord, for all that you're doing, not only in my life, Lord, and in the lives of the people that you have placed me with. I just pray that the message today imparted some truth that would challenge people to live as a new creature created in Christ Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.